Good song, good singing. Very good. Yeah. Well, that's can't much more be said. He's there.
Right.
You know him this morning?
Yes.
You know him?
Yes.
If you don't know him, you better get to know him. You need him. All right. All right. Appreciate the singing. Appreciate the singing. Been good all day. Appreciate all the singing this morning. Emma sung a song I hadn't heard for a long time. I appreciate Emma playing the piano for us, and always glad when she's in from Italy or Tennessee, either one. And always glad. Emma's been special to me since she was a little tiny girl. And I appreciate her so much. All right. Everybody all right? I want you to listen carefully this morning. We're going to preach right to us this morning. And I believe that is vital not only to your spiritual health, but your mental health and your physical health this morning. All right? Everybody understand that? The message affects your spiritual health, your mental health, and your physical health. All right? So you listen carefully this morning. Father, we thank you so much for what you've given us already. I understand I can do nothing. Ask you once again to cleanse me and forgive me. I want nothing between me and you this morning. Anything that would be like sin, any shadow of sin, any thoughts or any thoughts that would lead that way, Lord. I want to stay not on the edge. I want to stay back in the middle of the path, in the middle of the road where the light's at. And Lord, I pray this morning you might search me out. Now speak to our heart. May your word speak to us, I pray. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, let's look at some things this morning. Of course, we're keeping our heart fixed in 2026, and that means more probably this morning than any other time that we need to look at our heart. And I want you to look at your heart this morning. Examine yourself. You need to examine yourself, see whether or not you're in the faith. You ought to see whether or not you're saved this morning. But then as a Christian, you need to see how you're walking with the Lord. All right, you need to pay attention to that. Last couple of weeks, and I want you to think about this. This is, I do more than talk to you. I talk to a lot of people throughout the week. And the last couple of weeks, I've counseled with several people that's not connected. Not connected with our church, not connected with you. Some of them you don't even know. All right, and but yet I find the same problem. I found the same issues going on, and they're suffering just like many of us are suffering. All right, a lot of us suffer health problems. We all got diseases that comes. We live in a fallen world. All right, we live in a fallen world, and because we live in a fallen world, there's going to be issues and problems that's going to face everybody. It's been commonplace. All right, people get sick, people have heart disease, people have diabetes, people have strokes, people have cancers, people die, people lose their jobs. People lose their homes. People have wayward kids. These are marks of a fallen race, a fallen world that happens to everybody. All right? And some things we may prevent a little bit, but some things are just going to happen, and that's life. All right? But that's just the way it is. All right? But there's some things that's self-inflicted. They're suffering, and not all suffering, with terminal disease. Everybody's not suffering with that, but we are all suffering, I believe, from self-inflicted disease that's causing physical, mental, and spiritual torment. All right? And this is one of the messages that you may not agree with, but that's okay. All right? Because we want you to really study about yourself this morning. All right? Because here's the disease. The disease is unforgiveness. That's the disease. That's the sin. That's what's killing all of us. All right? It's killing us. It's killing us. Matthew 22, verse 37, 38, and 39 says this. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's what Jesus said. Does anybody agree with that?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad we agree with the Lord. This is the first and great commandment. That's what Jesus said. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's what Jesus said. Everybody see that? That's what Jesus, that's why it's wrote in red, that's what Jesus said. Everybody understand that? That's what Jesus said. Everybody still with me? These verses can't be lived because of the disease. Now, that's why it was so hard to preach in 2024 when I was preaching on Let Us Love More in 2024. Because of the disease. Alright? Everybody understand that? I mean, we had a plague and we never got over it. And that's our problem now. And unless we address the disease in our own heart, it's going to kill us. It's already killing us. Alright? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. We know what that is, don't we? That's the opposite of forgiveness. Yeah? That's a deep meaning, ain't it? Unforgiveness is the opposite of forgiveness. Huh? Alright? Now, this disease is only spread by people. You can't catch it out in the woods. It's only spread by contact of people. You know that? Now, and it's just so serious a disease, and people can spread it to animals. Did you realize that? You be mean to a dog when somebody else come by and your dog will bite them. Isn't that right? Get on a horse and somebody's mistreated and see if that horse ain't got unforgiveness. Huh? See if that biting dog ain't got unforgiveness. Huh? Takes a lot of coaxing to get that dog not to bite you again. There's a lot of makeup got to be done. Right or wrong? I mean, that's just common sense, eh? But that disease can only be spread by people. Do you know that the devil don't spread that disease? We do. I've not read in the Bible where the devil even has it. He may. I've never read where he had it. But we got it. So we didn't get it from him. We still okay? Now there's warnings about this disease. This disease spreads to family and close friends. You can never spread it to a stranger. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now we'll go slow here for a little bit. You can't spread the disease of unforgiveness to a stranger. You can only spread it to family and close friends. And they'll catch it. They'll catch it quickly. The diseased person wishes harm on others. It's interesting. The diseased person gets stuck in a past. The diseased person always speaks negative of certain people.
How about that?
So them are warnings. Now here's some symptoms. There are certain symptoms. Resentment. You got resentment? You got a disease. It's called unforgiveness. You got anger issues. It ain't the way you were born. It's because you got unforgiveness in your heart. It ain't because you're high strung. Because somewhere you've been hurt, maybe legitimately, and you've got unforgiveness. One of the symptoms is you're all the time rehearsing past hurt in conversation. That your conversation is about what has been done, how you've been offended, how you've been hurt, what this one's done. Talk about work, you talk about the ones who've done you wrong on the job. Talk about home, you talk about who done you wrong at home. Talk about your spouse, you talk about maybe past spouses and all they done. Talk about this one or that one, neighbors. Well, I used to have a neighbor. I used to have, you ever hear conversation like that? Hurts in the past. Anybody here pout? I know you pout. Remember when we taught the day on the marriage seminar we had, and I had you fill out the paper of the 58 couples that filled out the paper that 78% admitted that they pouted. Of all the things that we wrote and filled out on that paper, when I read that, I said, surely grown people don't pout like that. And you know why people pout? You know why you pout? Because you got unforgiveness in your heart and your mind. Are you listening to me? Anxiety? Anybody got any anxiety problems? Well, I got anxiety, preacher, but it ain't because I love everybody. Well, you're a liar. That causes anxiety right there. Don't tell me you love everybody. I don't want to hear nobody tell me they love everybody because that is the biggest lie anybody's ever told. Now, that's what we're supposed to do, but we don't. All right? Depression. Now, not all depression is from unforgiveness, but majority of depression is unforgiveness. All right? There's some chemical imbalances, sure. There's a lot of unbalanced people. Whether it's chemically or whatever. But depression, you know, blood pressure issues. The reason I know that is because that goes with anger. That's why people's face turns red. 9 out of 10 times it's not embarrassment, it's anger. Murmuring.
There they are again. Yes, yes.
Ever murmur? Because there's something in your heart. Complaining. You mean all complainers have unforgiveness? Yeah, that's why they're complaining. They're mad at the man that fixed my hamburger and I didn't want mayonnaise on it. I wanted mustard. Or I don't want mustard, I wanted mayonnaise. I didn't order it that way. You're mad at the cook. You're mad at the people at McDonald's. You're mad at the people that check you out. We get mad over everything. We just have unforgiveness. We don't want to forgive nobody. We just complain. And how many complain about the weather? You know who you got to be mad at to complain about the weather? Does anybody know who you got to be mad at if you complain about the weather? The weatherman. No. 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 Grudges. You know, it's amazing that of all them symptoms, grudges are passed down. Grudges are passed down. If my great-great-great-great-granddaddy didn't like your family, I don't either. Now, I don't know why. Long-term effects are debated, but this evident, believe it or not, insomnia, and you're not sleeping because you're up praying. We hear a lot about people being bipolar. You know, them words didn't come about till late 60s. We got this state-approved medicine. But bipolarism and schizophrenia. I've been to counseling. I've had professional counseling. I've talked to many professional counselors. And all the counseling in bipolarism and schizophrenia, the counselor asked and see if they was abused, if they were hurt, or some issue of the past to see what has affected them to cause them to be that way. And it all roots down to unforgiveness. All of it. Weakened immune systems. Unforgiveness. This is a doctor-approved diagnosis of weakened immune system is unforgiveness. Doctor-approved, not just Bible-approved. So we'll believe the doctor. People have nervous breakdowns because of unforgiveness. In a lot of instances, alcoholism is a result of the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the depression that we guilt and the things that we hide in our heart. And alcoholism and drug addiction. Huh? Divorce. Divorce happens because of what? Unforgiveness. Can't get past it. Can't get over it. Yeah. I'm batting 1,000 right now.
Yeah.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
Abused. And 100% of church split. 100% of church splits are caused by unforgiveness. If neglected very long, this disease will cause these things. Prayerlessness, praiselessness, it'll stop soul winning. Takes away the song out of people's hearts. Huh? Stops church attendance. It'll eventually ruin personal testimony. And it destroys children. That's what unforgiveness does. And it's a disease. It's the cancer of the church. It's the cancer of the home.
It's the cancer with husbands and wives. It's a cancer. It eats at husband and wives. It drives them apart. It drives a wedge in the home. It drives them to separate bedrooms. It drives them to separate careers, separate lives. To where they exist only out of shame. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness not only is the cancer of the home, it's the cancer of the church. Yeah. We can't get past what somebody done. Rick told around us this morning talking about the blind man. They kept asking questions, and they was determined to get that man blind again. Yeah. In John chapter 1, they was determined to make him blind again. Wasn't a bit tickled that he got could see. They was determined to make him blind again. Huh? And there's people we know that come to the Lord, and we're determined that they just, well, I wish they was lost so I could hate them. I'm not making that up. Yeah, they got saved. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. Now, see what the Scripture says about it. Everybody okay? I'm just trying to be a pastor. See, a pastor is an under-shepherd. And he's compared to a shepherd because when the sheep would come in the fold, he would examine the sheep, and he carried a little horn of oil. He carried his shepherd's hook, his staff, you know, and he carried a little shorter club, and he carried that satchel or that horn of oil, and he would go over them sheep, and he would feel all over them and examine each one of them. And where they was infected, he would pour oil on them. So I'm trying to pour some oil on our affected areas. And our affected area this morning is unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. Now, I have faced it here in the last few weeks. I've faced it with some of us, and I've faced it with other people and other places that you don't know. I mean, to the point that it was that I was in a place that in a hospital that the nurses had to scold the people because of unforgiveness actions in a hospital room. See, it ain't just here. It's everywhere. Unforgiveness. I've done 40 years of marital counseling. And I've never done marital counseling to couples who get along. Did y'all know that? 100% of the couples that I've counseled got problems. Not a one of them said, we just wanted to meet with you and let you know everything's going perfect. We wanted you to know, boy, when you tied that knot and married us, boy, you tied her tight and ain't nothing separating us. I ain't never had nobody tell me that. But I've had a bunch of them come in and almost say, I can't stand him, I can't stand her. They done this and I'll never forgive them. I got to tell you this before what's on my mind. Years ago, I was pastoring, and it was not this church, and it just wasn't another church I pastored in. And it was an issue. A person wasn't coming to church, and I just happened to drop in and was visiting. It was a deacon and deacon's wife, and I just happened to stop in and holler at the deacon for a moment. And I asked you, wife, how you doing? She said, I'll never come back to church. I said, well, what's wrong with you? She was right hateful anyway. And so she said, because she named the person's name and said, I'll never forgive him. I said, well, what'd he do? He testified. And I said, pardon me, he said, he testifies. And I ain't no sense in it. I said, you're kidding me. So I said, can I use your phone? Sure. I got on the phone and I called that person. I said, can you get down here to such and such house? I need you some emergency. Can you get? Yeah, I'll be right there. 5 minutes, here he come in the door. He comes in there and I said, all right. This is so-and-so, she ain't coming to church no more. She's mad at you. She says, she ain't going to forgive you. Repent. He got on his knees in tears and said, I'm sorry. She says, nope, I ain't forgiving you. I said, all right, go home. He said, but, and I said, no, go get out of here. Go home. I told the deacon he needed to get his home in order because his wife was bad shape. And I said, you need to get your house in order. And I told her a few other things. But that was in the church. You say stuff like that don't happen to the others. You know what it's called? It's a disease. You know what it's called? Unforgiveness. We don't love the Lord, right, because of unforgiveness. Remember our first scripture? Thou shalt love the Lord with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. Right? Remember that scripture? We've separated ourselves from God because of our sin. And it hinders our love and our fellowship and our benefits from God because there's unforgiveness between us and Him. Alright? Isaiah 59, 1 through 4 says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. It goes on and says in verse 6 through 8, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Ask us and the Lord, and we have chosen our path. We've chosen to do our own thing. We've chosen to lie and deceive and mutter perverse things. We've walked in a crooked path that we've made for ourselves, and we've walked away from God, and there's unforgiveness between us and God. And the Lord's hand is not short that He cannot save. His ear ain't heavy that He cannot hear, but our sins have separated us from Him.
Amen.
That's a problem. And we're walking in unforgiveness with the Lord. Huh? Are you hearing me? There's sin in the camp. Psalms 139, 23 and 24, this is what we need to do. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Ephesians 1:7 tells us this, in whom we have redemption, how? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of it. I am so glad that there's forgiveness and it comes through the blood of Christ. Can I tell you, the only thing that will ever forgive sin is the blood of Christ. That's the only thing that cleanses us from sin. The only thing. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ain't that most wonderful? Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declaring to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say, listen closely, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's what the Bible says. Huh? But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Look at that. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship what? One with another. Can we read it again? But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We can't walk one with another in unforgiveness.
Right.
Huh? And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, there's what we got to do. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Can I tell you, unforgiveness from us and God has to be fixed. Nothing will ever be fine with us if it ain't fine this way. Understand that. This line has to be right before this line ever gets right. There's got to be a cleansing of our hearts and our minds with a holy God. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be pure. He calls us to walk the way He said to walk, that we might have fellowship with Him. And we can only have fellowship with the Father when we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, we don't have no fellowship with Jesus if there's no fellowship with husbands and wives.
That's right.
If husbands and wives ain't getting along, neither are you and the Lord.
Right.
Everybody listen to me.
Yes.
If husbands and wives ain't getting along, you and the Lord ain't getting along.
Right.
Hmm? Then they say it again. I want to make sure you get it. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is what the problem is. Because everybody messes up. Everybody messes up. Everybody does wrong. Everybody says wrong. Everybody thinks wrong. Everybody leaves things undone that ought to be done. Everybody may have good intentions, but Brother Rick gave it this morning, said if there's a choice between this and that, sometimes it's neither.
Amen.
I love that, Brother Rick. You helped us.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, everywhere we go, it follows us. Because it's a cancer.
Yeah.
If I've got unforgiveness at the house, then it's going to spread to those I work with. Because I'm going to tell some of my workmates, but they're only going to hear my side of it. So then my good, close workmates are going to agree with me that I married the wicked witch of the East. And anytime they see her, oh, that's who it is. Huh? Because we all know that we'll tell people we work with things we won't tell nobody else. Because we're trying to find counsel that agrees with us. And we don't care whether it's worldly or not. Ladies? Huh? You'll tell your closest friends. Y'all have your tea parties or whatever you want to have, whatever they have nowadays, and get together and you'll tell your girl buddies about Satan that lives with you. Huh? Right or wrong. Now, you know why you say that? It's because of unforgiveness. And then it spreads. And the ladies see you, and they have no confidence in you. Guys, they have no confidence in you. They don't care what you say. They look at you. And it's all because of the disease, unforgiveness. We don't love one another right. Because of unforgiveness. Not only do we not love the Lord right, we don't love one another right because of unforgiveness. Listen to me, Christian. Forgiveness is not an option for the Christian. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. You don't have the option. Without forgiveness, you have judgment. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. But if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that is about as plain as it gets. If we don't forgive, He don't forgive. If He don't forgive, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If He don't forgive,
yeah.
Well, there ain't no fellowship.
Right.
Ain't no answer to prayer.
Right.
No fruit going to come from me. No peace going to be in my heart. No joy going to be in my heart. Well, that might be the case right now. Because ain't much peace, ain't much joy.
Right.
And our song's out of key. Huh? That's what it says. Is that what it says? What the Bible says. So I don't believe that. That's your privilege. What you believe is not truth. What God says is truth. Forgiveness is something you must decide to do yourself. No one can do it for you. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says this. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's what it says. Forgiveness is done for Christ's sake. All forgiveness is for Christ's sake. All forgiveness is for Christ's sake. My forgiveness with God is for Christ's sake. My forgiveness with all that was us is for Christ's sake. It's all for Christ's sake. Are you hearing me? Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even means the same. That we forgive one another, even as God forgive us for Christ's sake. So all forgiveness is for Christ's sake.
Amen.
We okay? Luke 23, Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Look, that's what Jesus said and did while he was being crucified, forgiving the very people that was driving the nails in his hand and had already put the crown of thorns on his head, already beat him to where he was unrecognizable, gambling for his clothes. He said, forgive them.
Yeah.
Huh? We are the most like Christ when we forgive. That's when we're the most like Christ. It's when we forgive. You want to be like Christ? It's what we're supposed to be in. We got to forgive. Christ is shown more through us when we forgive. Huh? We are truly a Christian when we choose to forgive. See, if we don't forgive, we're not even Christian. We're not even Christian. Forgiveness is the secret to absolute freedom. Now, I'm not meaning this wrong here, but can I say that the sweetest revenge you can do to someone is forgive them? I'll show you, I'll just forgive you and forget. You won't bother me no more, I'll forgive you. Huh? Now, that ain't why you ought to do it, but can I tell you, it's sweet inside. Are we still okay? Forgiveness is the key to the prison of bitterness. There's people this morning that's bitter, eat up with bitterness. There's a lot of eat up with ignorance, but a lot of us eat up with bitterness. Huh? Forgiveness will heal your heart. Because of forgiveness, look at it. Joy will replace grief. Peace will replace anger. It will. Huh? Love will replace hate.
Yep.
Are you listening to me? Contentment will replace frustration. Huh? Your emotional, mental, and physical health will get new energy and life.
Yep.
Huh? It will. But forgiveness. But unforgiveness will kill us. Unforgiveness is killing us. It's killing us mentally. Why is there so much mental illness today? Why? Well, look at what's going on. The divorce rate has went from 1 in 5 to almost 1 out of 2. And the reason being that the divorce rate is just 1 out of 2 because people decide to shack up instead of get married. So there ain't as many marriages. That's why the divorce rate has actually come down. It ain't because they quit divorcing, it's because they've been living together. Huh? They run like a bunch of dogs in heat, and then they change over and they do that over here on the other side. Do it again. Huh? Just depends on what cycle they're in. That's a fact. Huh? But why is there? We got so much divorce. Look at all the abuse. We got all the abuse because of addictions of some sort. A lot of the abuse comes from that. It does. Alcohol. There is no scripture that condones alcohol in any way, by the teaspoon or by the barrel.
Amen.
And I've never seen nothing good. Nothing good come out of alcohol. But I've seen many a home busted up. Many kids go without. Huh? I've seen many a wife beat up. And I've seen many a man beat up. Because of alcohol. That's why there's the mental disease and mental stress. That's why people are going for counseling, because they got all this unforgiveness where they've been drugged and beat and tore apart and all this stuff, and they're harboring their mind. You got moms and dads that's been mean to their kids because of sin, and the kids grow up and they don't know how to act. They don't know how to even relate to public, and this is why there's so much mental disease, and it all roots back to unforgiveness. Huh? Listen, when you go knocking on doors and somebody says, "I ain't going to church, you preacher. If I want to fight, I'll go down to the bar."
Yeah, you're right.
I've done been told that more than once. "I ain't going to church with you." Now, why would that be said?
Unforgiveness.
If you don't forgive, you'll never be able to do enough to find peace. There's no amount of service for the Lord will ever satisfy you. You can do everything in the country, but if you don't forgive, you'll never do enough. You'll always, "I've got to do this." That ain't the problem. It ain't the problem that you ain't doing enough. The problem is you ain't doing what you're supposed to do to start with. Forgive. Everybody understand that? Huh? You say, "Well, if they'll ask me, I'll forgive them." That's not in the Bible. Now, it may be if they ask you, yes, but you're supposed to forgive them anyway. Everybody understand? Is anybody understanding this morning? If you don't forgive, listen to me. If you don't forgive, the Lord will send tormentors to you. I would encourage you to read Matthew 18 today. Matthew 18 speaks about discipline in the church, or actually it talks about how we're supposed to handle things. If you have trouble between somebody, you go to he and thee alone. All right, then if they don't listen, you get you two or three witnesses that are neutral, that you didn't talk to beforehand. And if they don't hear, then you tell it to the church, and then the church brands them. All right? And then there's some scripture there that we listen to the world instead of the scripture.
Amen.
Then it says, and it talks about reconciliation or repentance to one another, what it talks about, forgiving one another. And it says, whatever we bind and loose. All right? And that's not this big spiritual thing. It's just binding and loosing fellowship and our what's right one with another. And then it says a scripture that's taken completely out of context, to where two or three agree touching anything, let it'll be done. That ain't got nothing to do with praying. That's talking about people reconciling, repenting one to another, forgiving one another. And then it says, "Where two or three together, there am I in the midst." That's not a local church. That's two people getting right one with another, and God sits down in the midst of it. Read the scripture. Everybody with me? Read your Bible. Matthew 18:32-35. Then Peter asked, "How many times shall I forgive? Seven times 70? He said, "No, 70 times 70. Then he gives a parable about forgiveness and unforgiveness. And we know the parable about the man that was in debt, and he forgave, and he went over and asked the other to forgive. Everybody remember, know that? Talk to me. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Is that what it says? The Lord will send tormentors to you, and that comes back to the bipolar and the schizophrenia and the mental conditions and insomnia. Insomnia, bipolar, schizophrenia, weakened immune system. That's what brings that. It ain't the devil that brings the tormentors. It's the Lord that'll send the tormentors for unforgiveness. So that's what the Bible teaches. That's how serious unforgiveness is. That's how serious it is. It'll drive people crazy. Unforgiveness will drive people crazy. That bitterness eats and eats and eats and eats and eats that they don't even remember what their original thing was. It just eats and eats and eats. Unforgiveness and bitterness will affect people to where their color goes out of their face. They'll be hollow-eyed and black around the eyes. Gray face like some kind of physical cancer. Nerves shot. And they need a pill. They need a pill to make them sleep and a pill to make them wake up. A pill to make them eat and a pill to make them puke when they eat. And a pill to do this and a pill to do that. And trying to find. They go to the doctor and the doctor says, I don't find nothing wrong, but I'll give you this. And I can't find nothing wrong, but I'll give you this. And I can give you, if you want me to, I can go back and find it again. But I've read doctor's reports where the doctor said, I think what you need to do is just look and see whoever you're mad at and just forgive them. And that'll fix your physical condition. We need forgiveness in our heart. We need forgiveness in our home. We need forgiveness in our church. To forgive will bring love. To neglect forgiveness will bring disaster. What are you going to do? There's issues that we have with people that we can't fix. I was going through the cemetery at Mount Pleasant over at Mount Lookout one day. Me and some people were going down to a graveside service. I had a graveside service and it was one of mine. I used to cut grass at the cemetery at Mount Lookout. I used to dig the graves and used to, take care of it all. I'd preach the funeral. I'd done it all. I'd dig a grave, and then I'd put on my suit and preach the funeral, and I'd go change clothes, cover the grave up. Then I'd mow the grass after the grass come over. I took care of the whole thing, all right? And we was walking down through the cemetery, and I was walking by some people, and a woman stopped, and she stopped. She leaned again. I walked over her, and I named a name. She said, "Oh, I can't stand them. I'm so mad at them." I said, "Well, they've been dead 15 years. She said, "I don't care." The mind up. There's no way that reconciliation can happen. There's instances that reconciliation can't happen. Divorces and things like that. You done married and two or three times down the road. You can't go back and fix some things like that. But everybody can forgive. Everything might not be reconciled. But everything can be forgiven. Some things can't be fixed because they're dead.
Some people can't, some things can't be fixed because they've moved away or you know, there's, everybody follow me? But everybody can forgive. Because it only takes you. Forgiveness only takes you. Forgiveness don't have to change the hurt. The hurt may be legitimate. Forgiveness don't have to change the circumstance. But forgiveness has to change your heart. What are you going to do? See, it's not a question if we have it. It's a question what we're going to do with it. We can tell at home when we argue and the past is brought up. We can tell at home. When we argue over somebody didn't let the dog out. Well, you done the same thing 23 years ago. When so-and-so, well, what they got to do if the dog didn't get out? Because there's unforgiveness 23 years ago. Right or wrong, listen, believe it or not, I'm telling you the truth this morning. I want to see revival. I want to see a revival that will not just change this church, but it will change this community. And it's not going to happen if we're not willing to humble ourselves down and forgive. We don't need nobody else. It's just us and God. What are you willing to do? Father, I've given as you've given me. I believe already you've spoken to us. But now, what are we willing to do? Are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to ask you to forgive us? And are we willing to forgive? Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.